Well, this is the Real BS Show, coming at you for another week.
Beautiful downtown Union City.
Yeah, raining. Raining like crazy, but it's warm out. Super warm. Yeah. Something weird. We got Eddie Hazel strumming in the background. So what do you want to talk about?
We'll find out.
About the Congress going to screw up my Social Security?
Yeah, there we go.
They give me a raise and now they're going to run the country out of money. Jeez, oh man. Oh well, on and on it goes. Nut jobs. They're going to give Ukraine all my Social Security money.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy them Patriot missiles. And let us old folks wither on the vine.
Right.
Jeez. Well, I don't know. You want to listen to Eddie?
Yeah, let's give it a listen.
Okay.
Oh!
Real BS Show.
Oh, are we back?
Yeah.
We back?
Did you know that they found that people that never get themselves, let themselves get bored, they're less creative?
Well, how do you stop from getting bored?
Well, you
know. Is that where Facebook comes in?
Yeah, that's where social people are.
You fight with somebody on Facebook?
Yeah, the people are escaping boredom with going on social media. And this is just me sounding like some Luddite, you know. I'm a programmer, so.
Well, Facebook lost $4 billion.
Yeah, something like that.
So, holy cow.
Yeah, they lost a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't know how. What's that, all advertising money? Yeah?
Advertising money, you know, they get a lot of money from ads and selling people's data, you know. You know, a lot of the things that you put on Facebook actually can be used to market towards you. Kind of shocking, you know, all those messages you send to people.
I go to Walmart and buy something unusual. Next thing you know, it would pop up on Facebook.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I already bought it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But, you know, there is the positive side to it. Really, you're not seeing ads that aren't related to you anymore. You're seeing ads that are related to you. And so it kind of fits, you know, a little bit. But I think, you know.
Well, they're always after the fact, you know. I buy some chocolate chips or something. And I'm all done.
You ever see the luxury car commercials where they're showcasing, like they're advertising the luxury car? They're not trying to get new buyers. They're advertising to people that already have the car, so they don't have buyer's remorse. And I think that's a key there. You know, so a lot of times they're trying to reinforce you to keep buying that product and. And kind of it does work. We did the show before.
Well, those luxury cars don't work on me.
No. But Bernay, if you remember him, we did a show on him before. You remember that?
Who is that?
Bernay. That was Freud's nephew. We did a show on that. No, well, I don't remember what show it was.
Never heard of him.
But Bernay did the advertising. He did the psychology behind the advertising. Using a lot of the ideas, and that's where advertising is not stupid. It's a very ingenious way of working. Most people don't even know how it works, but it affects them. They're buying things left and right. But this goes back to the boredom thing. In this modern age, people don't want to be bored. They're afraid of it, you know. And I think there's nothing wrong with
just walk around Walmart and. Pick me up an extension cord or, you know, whatever.
But you're being creative, though. You think about it. You're producing music. You're performing music. You're actively, you're running a wood business, and that's keeping you busy as well. And all that is creative in a lot of different ways. You're using different parts of your brain to work that.
Who'd ever guessed that people would want firewood?
Right, right.
Smokes.
But, you know, the thing is, with that, it's like most people are seriously, they'll escape from boredom. They do not like it. They're afraid of it. They don't want to be even near it at all.
I love it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with sometimes taking a break.
I check my eyes for leaks.
Right, but that's not boredom, though. That's just you're resting and recovering, you know, from working all hard and everything. But some people, like, they're on their phones all the time and can't disconnect from their phones. And it's one of the things that, you know, when we get together, for instance, and we're barely on our phones. If I go hang out with anybody else, like people my age or so, or even my parents sometimes, no offense to my parents, but they're on their phones. Huh. It's like it's the weirdest thing in the world. Everyone's hyper addicted to their phones and cannot disconnect. And
well, how's the government going to keep track of you if you're on your phone?
I don't know. So to me, it's like everyone's trying to escape boredom. And it's a little concerning to me where we're heading. There's less creativity in a lot of ways when you start seeing that. People used to be more, you know, when you were younger, when you grew up, you had to invent games, you know, when you went outside.
Well, yeah, 40, 50 years ago, we didn't have any phones.
Right. But think about all the things that you learned as a kid playing out there in the woods and, you know, you had more fun than the kids these days are having fun, is what I'm saying.
Well, probably more exercise.
That's true.
Sure.
Definitely. But yeah, I won't babble too much more on this. It's just throwing an idea out there. Maybe put down your phone and be bored once in a while. It's okay.
Yeah, it's hard to do, I guess.
Yeah,
they're addicted.
Definitely. I think everybody is in some ways addicted to technology because it's just so profound, you know. But we have another Eddie Hazel song, so we can run that one.
Eddie Hazel.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all ears.
All ears. BS show.
Yeah, and a rainy Tuesday.
You know
rainy
what's in
Tuesday?
You know what's in rain? It's
Tuesday
water.
Tuesday afternoon, huh?
Water's in rain, right? And part of water is hydrogen.
Yeah.
Recently, they
one part's oxygen.
Yeah. Then you have hydrogen there, and recently they I think it was in the University of Caltech. I'd have to look that up. I didn't look it up, and I feel bad. They had cold fusion for the first time ever have positive output more than input. So that's a huge breakthrough for cold fusion.
I have no clue what that is.
So, you know, it's basically, you know, nuclear energy, when it's extremely hot, and so you have to constantly cool it. And the way they work with nuclear power right now is using water and turning it to steam. And that is a big deal. When we first start doing that, we had a lot of energy. The next stage would be cold fusion. So it's not producing much heat. compared to nuclear energy.
Is that why they call it cold?
Yeah, because you don't have to ramp up any temperatures. You can run it. And so for the first time ever, they had more energy being outputted in a net positive than any of the energy being inputted. And it was a decent amount of quantity of more positive than, you know, the input. So it's a big deal. It just needs to be replicated in other universities, and so it's a little bit more confirmed. You know, that's how science works. You have to confirm it.
Well,
you know?
50 years from now, they might get something.
Who knows? That's the crazy part, the way things are going. You know, we have to look at, you know, let's look at the big scale of things of how technology has progressed. When my grandfather was born in 1908, flying first started. The Wright brothers were first, you know, making planes and stuff. And then in 1969, they landed on the moon. I went to space in 59, right, with Sputnik. And then the first human, the first, you know, all that stuff all happened in his lifetime. And now here we are talking about going to Mars or going back to the moon. And, you know, these different projects they're doing. Technology has progressed very rapidly in the last 120 years.
No, for sure.
And that's the thing that I'm not saying I'm optimistic.
In the last 20 years, it's gone nuts.
It's really gone nuts with everything, with the internet and everything, and how much knowledge we have. So this is the other end of the spectrum here. I love the internet for all the wealth of knowledge and information that you can do. You could look up how to fix your car. Every car on that you can think of, it has probably a tutorial online how to fix it. I mean, who never would have thought of that? You know, back in the day, you used to have to go buy the book and how to repair a part or transmission on the vehicle. There was a specific book, and it cost like $50 or more to get. And now you can just go and look at a YouTube video. You don't even need the book anymore. You know, technology has progressed in such rapid ways that we still don't fully understand all the consequences of everything that's being done. But with this modern technology, they have, you know, we've progressed in levels that I'm baffled by. Everything's getting smaller too, Bill. That's the other thing. You know, you factor in how big a computer used to be, the size of a room, and now it's down to the size of your pocket. I have a watch on me that has a computer that's more powerful than what went to the moon. You know, and that's something that's scary thinking about. You know, when they sent Saturn up, they had a whole section of the rocket that was, you know, a massive computer that was a ring that ran around the inside of the rocket. That ring was bigger than this room that we're sitting in. It's bigger than most buildings, you know. And now we're walking around with phones and watches that have more power than that. You know, that's just mind-boggling. But
that's because Taiwan made all those small chips.
Microchips, yeah. That technology,
China's going to take them over.
They're trying to, but you know, a lot of that manufacturing is coming back to the United States. They're actually right now building.
They better hurry up because China's on the way.
They're trying. But one of the big issues is, you know, in that field is there's a lot of competition. You know, where I won't go too technical, but there's like maybe four or five different CPU processors that are trying to compete against each other. And the key to that is if they make their information public information, then more people are able to work with those processors. But then that's a double-edged sword, because then other countries that have malicious intent might try stealing that data. So it's a whole battle there I won't get into.
Everything should be open source.
It should be.
Let everybody, you know, jump in and try to make it better.
It should be, but the reality is when you're talking about government programs where they don't want their chips
it's all secret
because they don't want it. They want obscurity. They want to be obscure about it, so they don't get hacked, for instance. That way the enemy knows how to hack their system. It gets it real complicated like that. But I, you know, me as a programmer, I just look at it as, yeah, a lot of things should be open source, but there might be a few things that are proprietary and are kind of closed off. Good example is, I don't think you really want your medical data being ran by open source. That's a major concern right now. I work in that industry, and
you set up a program, and then you password protect it, or whatever, so you can protect individual stuff. But the program itself, I mean, that should be
To a point, it should be, but then there's parts of it where if the integrals of it could be compromised by having bugs in it. And the reality is every piece of software has bugs in it, and you just don't know where they are yet. There are so many security risks out there on every device you own that you'd probably be shocked to read the CVE on them. That's the main problem. There's too much technological issues out there for everyone to be fixing it all at once. So when you make a new product, it's not secure automatically. You don't know where the bugs are, because some 15-year-old kid's going to be looking for a bug in it, and they'll find the bug by accident, and they'll keep on exploiting that bug without telling anybody. So a good example is Apple phones had a bug where if you took out the SIM card and then swapped the SIM card, you could get a lot of data off of it. That way, that was a huge security bug. Nobody even knew about that, barely, but Apple went and fixed it because they realized how serious it was. And that was a recent one. That was only like about a couple months ago. And that's just a fact of life. And how long has Apple been making phones? You know, this has been a thing. You can go back to all the old phones, go back to through all the time, all the iPhones. That bug was there for all that long until recently someone found just swapping out a SIM card and doing a simple trick. Boom, they could get access to the phone.
How do you think Russia got a nuclear weapon? We had one first.
The Rosenbergs, right? Rosenberg?
I don't know. You think somebody...
They gave that information over. Yeah, it was the Rosenbergs. The man and the couple, their last name I think was Rosenberg. It was a man and woman that...
They toast them?
They executed him. Yeah, it was actually one
kind
of
the late, though, huh?
Yeah, well, they felt the sympathetic to the Russians having the nuclear weapon to balance things out, which I'm not agreeing with the way they did it, but honestly, kind of kept everybody a little more honest, didn't it? We haven't used the nuclear weapons yet. I may be eating my words here, but you know, down the road, but. Really, we haven't had a nuclear war.
Well, we've never been so close, I don't think.
I don't think so. I think the Cuban Missile Crisis was even more close, and we were super close in that situation.
Joe Biden in the White House, oh, jeez.
You know, I
don't sleep good at night with him in there.
McNamara did that one documentary on how close we were in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we were super close to nuclear strikes. We had a situation where a Russian sub that was near Cuba almost launched a missile at the United States, and that would have been a chain reaction. So we were super close in that situation.
They would have struck us, we would have struck them.
Yeah, back and forth. And now I don't see it happening. People might threaten with it, but I don't see it happening. It's all talk. They know that the world afterwards, the world wouldn't be completely destroyed either. So, for instance, where we live right now, where I'm at right now, and
how many nuclear tests have they done so far?
Oh, sure. It's ionized the
atmosphere. Thousands and thousands of them.
Did you know, for instance, steel?
We're fine.
Steel, for instance, people are paying top dollar for steel that's been buried and never exposed to radiation from all the nuclear tests and everything, because it's worth more, because there's certain precision technology that requires not having radioactivity in it. So like medical devices and stuff cannot have any radioactivity in it from the nuclear weapons being deployed. And then after that, all the steel is like any more steel above ground is all exposed to that. And so they can't use it, you know, after 1945 or 44.
But all us humans are wandering around with radioactive skin, right?
Sure. It's minor. It's minute. You know, they overplayed how serious nuclear weapons were, because, you know, as a kid, you know, we had the nuclear events where you had to go underneath your desk. You had to practice that, right? We did the same as you as a kid. When you were a kid, you had to practice that, right?
Practice what?
Going underneath the desk of atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah, like that's going to help you.
Yeah. but we did the same thing as a kid. You know, they drilled us in the heads, you know, how serious the nuclear event is. If you were outside and a nuclear bomb gets dropped, you have to hit the ditch and everything. Guess what? I actually researched on this. It's nuclear weapons aren't that deadly compared to what they made them to be. They're not. The whole world's not going to be toasted. So, for instance, where we're at, we're 20 miles away from Erie. 25 miles.
We're not far enough away. That's all I can tell you.
But most of the biggest bombs won't even reach us. Barely. We'd have the shock blast. You wouldn't want to be near glass, any windows or anything. So, yeah, in that situation, that's true. But most of the time, you'd survive. You might have like second degree burning or something like that.
Yeah, you have three heads.
Yeah, three heads. But look at Chernobyl. Wildlife is thriving there. It's surviving. It's not like mutations going on. There might be a little bit more cancer.
They're just a lot bigger than they used to be.
Yeah, a little bit more juicier.
Tastier.
Bit glowing at night.
Yeah, but easier to catch.
But wildlife is going fine there. No problems at all. I'm not saying people should move back there, but they're predicting that in the next maybe, 50 years to 100 years, people can move back there. It's safe enough. But that's just what I was thinking.
The deer are probably hoping nobody comes back.
Yeah, probably true.
They're having a ball.
the deer love Bill where he's at, They sure love you.
Well, I don't shoot at them. So.
No, and you just love them.
I feed them, matter of fact, yeah.
We were out there. I was still...
It's my welfare deer.
There you go.
Getting used to it. They're out there at 4 o'clock just standing there waiting.
Isn't that the funny thing is you see those signs, don't feed the wildlife, and you're sitting thinking, why is that? Well, it's like because they get used to it, right? And here we are,
Well, that's what we do to humans.
Yeah.
Once they get on the ticket there, they don't want to get off.
Yeah, got to feed them the high fructose corn
syrup. Through this work and stuff, I just want some free stuff.
So, like I said, this is where technology's progressed so rapidly that it's mind-boggling. And this potential breakthrough, I'll be pessimistic. Realistic and be like, this could be years out still before they get the cold fusion working 100% and making energy prices go down. But let's be honest, this is a huge breakthrough, and we just need to have it verified with other universities. That's what I go.
That's like our Navy is dependent on uranium.
Yep.
To run.
Yep.
Where does it come from? Russia and China.
Yep, Afghanistan.
We're not allowed to mine uranium in the United States. So what butthead made that rule?
It also not allowed to. I think it's also from Africa, too. We're getting some. But, yeah, in the United States, they should be digging for uranium.
Well, Hillary Clinton sold 20% of our uranium to Putin.
Yeah.
Uranium One, I think it was called.
Yep.
Just atrocious criminal people. In Washington, just a bunch of nut jobs.
It's
easy times makes for weak people.
And sure.
That's where we're at. We're headed that way every minute.
There's some truth to that saying about that cycle about strong, tough times make strong people. There's four different stages.
Fourth turning. Yeah.
Yeah. There's four different stages to that thing, and I think there is truth to it because
we're toast.
The one point I will say is you look back in history and. While things are bad now, they're not bad as compared to the past. And I mean more than 200, 300 years ago. I'm talking thousands of years ago studying history. If you ever look at the Bronze Age collapse, that was probably the closest to human civilization ever completely destroying itself. Completely. And
that's before me.
It's way before us. Yeah. I'd probably survive 24 hours in the Bronze Age collapse. That's how I feel. Knowing the history.
You shut off the electricity and I'm toast.
Exactly. We're back to school. You'd be fine and I'd be fine. I think we'd be fine for a bit until people start trying to steal things. That's something that people don't think about is if the world was to ever completely lose all electricity and basically a collapse, like a solar flare hits the whole Earth and it takes out all the electricity in the whole world. Yeah, we'd be going back to the Stone Age real quick.
Survival of the fittest.
And people would be stealing things left and right. That's something that people don't realize how serious it's going to get. But people, when they look at the pandemic, when it started with the COVID, what was toilet paper? People were panicking over toilet paper. Didn't need to panic. They had the supply. It was going fine for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, everyone just panic buyed.
Well, they just kind of loaded up. That's all.
Yeah, people were panic buying. Same with hand sanitizer and all that jazz. But diapers, that's another one. Baby formula, all that panic buying. And what does it show? People panic and they will completely buy. And of course, there's some idiots out there that will blame that on capitalism. Oh, the capitalism can't keep it in stock. How can you? No economic system can keep panic at bay. You could put limits on everything. When they put limits on baby formula, that only people that could buy two at a time, and people were having their friends and family come in and buy formula.
Yeah, there's a way around everything.
All right, I think we should play the next song here.
All right, yeah, let's do that. I'm going to fall out of my chair here in a minute. Doze off and bump my head.
There you go.
Put on
Thank you. Be like you, babe. See you.
it's the Real BS Show with all that cheering going on.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're cheering about.
Some kind of song. I don't know.
Because they like Bonamassa, or probably whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Good guitar player, good singer. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter, too. It's a rare combination to find all three. Good singer, guitar player, musician, and also a songwriter. That's a talent that's rare.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. If it wasn't rare, then it wouldn't be so popular, I guess.
You know, it to write a good song that people like and then other musicians can like, that's a key thing. This Bonamassa is one of those ones that I think many people like him. You know, quite a few people like him.
Sure.
But most musicians will say, yeah, Bonamassa is pretty talented and good and writes pretty sweet tunes. And that's the key there. It's like you find musicians that it's kind of like a comedian's comedian. You got the musician's musician. And that's what Bonamassa is to me. He's kind of like a musician's musician that also writes good popular songs. And the guy has like 30 hit singles, you know.
Well, the secret in the music world is to be first. You know, do something first and have other people try to copy it.
Yeah, the clone it, yeah.
Yeah, and then everybody thinks you're wonderful.
Yeah, like look at Jimi Hendrix, you know. He covered other people's songs and just basically was tripping balls and made the songs completely different than what Bob Dylan made them to be, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's something...
Happened a lot.
They happened a lot, you know.
To Bob Dylan, yeah.
Yeah, but... Bob Dylan was a great songwriter, you know. I mean, that's something that, you know, maybe not the best singer, but...
Half of the Bird songs that they did were Bob Dylan songs.
Yeah, exactly. And the Birds did a great job as well. They, you know, they took a lot of songs and they wrote some of their own, too, I heard. You know, some of theirs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they wrote a few of theirs, but not too many of them. But, yeah, definitely. It's just, I appreciate the talent in it. There's some bands out there that have an amazing talent that's beyond belief. And this next song is one of those.
Yeah, I like this. This is the first song I ever showed to Gary, and he right away snapped it up, and he says, yeah, he said, I like Bonamassa.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where it went from there.
We were going to cover this song at one point, you said, and...
Well, I mentioned to him, but we never got even
We never got this it. One, yeah, because this one's a little bit more... There's a lot of layers to it that... It's a pretty long song. It's what, I don't know how long it is.
We were looking at Mountain Time and
right,
well, Happier Times and Drive and some of them other ones.
We did Happier Times. You
said Happier Times. Yeah, I butchered that one.
Oh no.
But yeah, we got through it. It was and it was our own style. It came out our own way.
Definitely,
you know?
Definitely.
So people can look and say, "Oh, you guys are really good."
Yeah.
No, we just. Did it our own way. That's
we just guessed the whole way through, basically.
Yeah, we just made it our own way, you know. We didn't follow note for note. So, well, let's play this last song because we've got about an hour in. People starting to doze off. I can see some heads nodding back there.
Yeah,
and it's still raining out. So
that's true.
Can't do anything.
It's a rainy day.
Yeah. So, anyways, we'll see y'all next week and. Thanks for being here, and hey to Nancy, if you're out there, and I don't know, we'll do it again next week.
That sounds good. See ya.
Looking for peace and my redemption. She was my secret and I was a sinner. Had to whisper a confession. Went to the well and looked in the mirror. Raised the glass to my
sections. Another preacher cries on the TV, wants my money in my
Yeah.